Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, June 2nd, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 101, that first paragraph. We meet these conditions every day. Through one paragraph ending, he would escape the alcohol problem. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Julie P., 12 Traditions, Mary P. Readers of the text, Anne S.C.H., Robin P., and Hillary B. The reference number for Sunday, June 1st, is 22,483. That's 22483. And for this morning, Monday, June 2nd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 22,485. That's 22485. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Diane B., and Becca R. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Julie P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. My name is Julie P. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in northern Minnesota. Here are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Oh, thank you so much, Julie P. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 101, that first paragraph. We meet these conditions every day through one paragraph ending, he would escape the alcohol problem. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. I'll now ask Ann SCH to read and then share with us. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Dawn, and to everyone online. My name is Ann SCH, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in British Columbia, Canada. We meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. There is something the matter with his spiritual status. His only chance for sobriety would be some place like the Greenland ice cap. And even there, an Eskimo might turn up with a bottle of scotch and ruin everything. Ask any woman who has sent her husband to distant places on the theory he would escape the alcoholic problem. So for myself, when I look at this paragraph, it's really about geographical cure or attempts for a geographical cure. And as a compulsive overeater, when I was active in my addiction, one of the things that was there, I mean, like isolation was for me, was sitting on the couch in front of the TV binging. And so there was no actual place to be isolated or going to a Greenland ice cap. I mean, even when I moved into my current apartment, as a spirit of friendship, a neighbor came with a cake. And I had just put down the food. So this was like that ice cap. You think you're done when you put it down, but food is everywhere, and we know that. That's part of what we talk about. But as I went through my process of recovery and abstinence recently, well, in the last year or so, 2 years, I was stunned when I had a flat tire and was waiting for the AAA to arrive for servicing the car, bringing the car into the garage. That a very kind couple showed up to help me in this moment. I you know, having a flat tire on the highway, no isolated, nobody around. And the first thing that was the woman offered me was candy. And it was sort of, oh my gosh, I did not expect that. Did I take the candy? Of course not. But it was just, you can't, there's no situation where there's food or something isn't offered to you as a soother of some kind, a comforter. And as we know, when we're active in the food and we put it down, that comfort is not where we go for food. We don't go to the food for comfort. Food is there to sustain us, so on and so forth. But even more, folks, that's the end of my time. I'm looking forward to everyone's shares, and thank you so much for asking me to be of service today.
Oh, thank you so much, NSCH. Beautiful way to get us started. I'll now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Wendy B.
Wendy.
Julie B.
Julie B.
Laura W., South Jersey.
Laura W.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Bethany H. in Texas.
Bethany H.
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Okay, we'll go ahead and stop there. I have Wendy B., Julie B., Laura W., Deborah G., Bethany H., and Wendy M. Wendy B., your 3 minutes start now, and thank you so much. Go ahead.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And the lines that stood out to me today were, we meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind, and there's something the matter with his spiritual status, and shielding ourselves from temptation. So this is truly a gift of the program, to be able to be neutral around our substance. You know, we can be around others who are indulging and it doesn't bother us. You know, we aren't tempted. We aren't striving to resist temptation and white-knuckling it. And my family members think I have good willpower and good discipline, but I know that's not it. I know I have a program of action that works to address, you know, the underlying issues and gives me healthier coping mechanisms and tools to be able to live life on life's terms, you know, without needing my addictive substance to do it. And at the beginning of my abstinence, I did need to shield myself from temptation. I needed a hospitalization phase, a safe space where I was shielded from my substance, where I could learn, you know, other methods to soothe myself and go through detoxing. And I needed to grieve the loss of my substance, you know, and learn new, healthier ways of eating. And I needed to let my body adjust to the changes, you know, and, you know, I gave myself a place of peace and safety. And, you know, as I got recovered, I was then able to be around my substance without it calling to me. You know, I could be in situations that used to trigger me and not be tempted. And it truly is miraculous. And, you know, and now whenever I find myself tempted, I use it as a sign that there's program work to do, you know, that there's probably some underlying issue or feeling, you know, that I'm not addressing, some area where I'm feeling stuck. And I also know my food plan needs to be sustainable, you know, that I can't be so rigid that it makes my life too hard to maintain, you know, and that as I age and my circumstances change, my food plan can be adjusted to meet my current circumstances. And I just am so grateful for program and the tools that I've learned. It's a beautiful way of life. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Julie B., it's your turn to share, followed by Laura W., and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Julie B. from Oregon. Thank you to Don B. and all of you for your service today. Very grateful for all of you. This morning, and my first thought was, today's day six. And I was so happy. I'm just really excited and happy about this program. I'm a beginner. I've been abstinent 6 days. I've been in the program, I guess, for about 12 days. When I heard that passage, I just had to laugh about, you know, being up at the North Pole and somebody handing you vodka or whatever. It makes me think about traveling and the struggles that I have with traveling. I find it easier to stay abstinent in my own house. I think a lot of us do probably. But when I travel, I travel 4 or 5 times a year for work. It's like all I do is eat and binge and eat and binge. And I just tell myself, well, I'm in a foreign country, I have to experience the food. Or, well, I'm in New Orleans, of course I'm going to have, you know, a bunch of cocktails or whatever. I always come home 5 or 6 pounds heavier, and I always regret it, and I always feel terrible. So I'm really hoping I can get a sponsor and start working the steps. I ordered the big book. It's coming pretty soon. And start building up strength so that when I travel, I can stay on the program. I'm very grateful to all of you. I really am. I feel like I've started school, and this is the first day of school, and you guys are all my teachers, and I appreciate all of you. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you so much, Julie B. from Oregon, and congratulations on day 6, and we're so grateful to have you on the line today sharing with us. Laura W., it's your turn to share, followed by Deborah G.
Thanks, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic, and I live in South Jersey. We meet these conditions every day. Your food is around us 24/7. I just got back from a 4-day cruise last night with my daughter. We were celebrating her upcoming high school graduation, and just her and I went away. And, you know, there was food everywhere. 24 hours a day, you could get pretty much whatever you wanted. And many people did. I watched many people, eating at 11 p.m., like plates and plates of food. And however, I realized that, I've been abstinent for many years, and I've been recovered for many years. And not once did I have the thought, the temptation, the desire to go eat in between my abstinent meals. And eat non-abstinent food. My abstinent food is so delicious to me. I used to starve myself for weeks and weeks and months and months. So I'm just so grateful. I still remember back, 20 years ago, when I first got abstinent, I was like, I cannot believe I can eat all this food and not gain weight, like not get fat, And that was my disease talking. And now I see that, I know I'm not recovered if I need to avoid temptation. If I can't be around a plate of food or food and desserts and things like that, that's not recovery. That's not a spiritual connection that I want. I need to be spiritually fit. If I'm spiritually fit, I can be anywhere. I could be on a cruise. My family and I are going to Europe this summer. Do I have to plan ahead? Of course. Of course I have to plan ahead. Of course I have to make sure that, and ask for what I want and what I need. And it's okay to do that. I can't shield myself from my disease. It's going to always be with me, but together God and I are stronger than the disease. So I'm grateful for the ability to go away, to make memories and experiences and not be tempted by food and not even have it be an issue. Enjoy the activities instead of the food. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura W. from New Jersey. Deborah G., it's your turn to share, followed by Bethany H.
Oh, good morning, everyone. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you, Dawn, so much for your service. And I was wondering when you get a chance if I could get the special edition Sunday number. It was good, and I want to listen to it again. Anyways, I at my church, we have fellowship after. There's always a big spread of food. I go out to restaurants, go out to lunch with friends. I go to some events. A lot of times what I'll do, if it's an event where they're having like a potluck, I'll even eat before I go so I can just do social. And, you know, I've never had a problem with that. So, you know, I think there's that neutrality that was shared. That makes a lot of sense, that neutrality where I can be around all that and not be affected by it, which is, I think that just has taken time, you know, because when I first started, you know, I look at that and think how good that tasted before. And you know, even sometimes today, I remember how something tasted, or someone will mention the food that I used to have, or the home cooking of something or whatever, you know, that, I guess that's because I'm a food, a compulsive overeater, food addicted. And, but I don't, what's the word, to continue to give that energy. You know, I just let that go. And that's the thing too, when I'm with others, I can focus more being present with them and listening to them and being in the situation of the, what we're the discussion, what we're talking about or something like that, and not be caught up in the mental obsession about the food. Because that's what I used to do, was I was so caught up in the mental obsession and the eating and the mental stuff. I wasn't even present with the people. It was all about the food. And that's all I looked forward to. Yes, wow. That's all I looked forward to, was having the food that they were going to be serving rather than being with the people. You know, that self-centered food stuff. And today I like to just be with others and enjoy their company. And it's just a beautiful blessing. I love this program. And I'm so grateful for all of you to 12-step me and keep me reminded of the reality with all of this. And that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Well, we're talking about page 101 today in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, a chapter Working with Others. We're talking about the first paragraph on page 101. We meet these conditions every day through one paragraph ending, he would escape the alcohol problem. So if you'd like to share on this paragraph, we'll have a couple more shares, and then we would like to take your name when I ask for it. So get ready to share. Bethany H., it's your turn, followed by Wendy M., and then I'll be taking some more names.
Thank you so much for your service. Thanks for the meeting. Thanks, everyone, for being here. My name is Bethany H. I'm a compulsive eater in Texas. And I love this line, we meet these conditions every day, because it kind of relates to the word status that falls in at the end of the sentence. So every day implies to me I have a reprieve for today. So my status is something that is a position. I looked it up. It's in the Big Book four times, the word status, and position in relation to others. And it's so amazing, the spiritual status, it's my relationship to my higher power. So I meet these conditions every day. And if I don't, if I'm not spiritually fit, then it's safe to say that I'm still stuck in the alcoholic mind. And so the alcoholic mind to me was always, I would eat and then the craving would kick in. And then it was just like, when am I going to stop? When am I going to stop? And so, you know, the alcoholic who cannot meet these conditions, having that close-knit daily relationship with a higher power, still has the alcoholic mind. And so for me, I think about it this weekend, my husband was away, I was with my kids by myself, and there were some times where it's like feeding the kids really quickly, quick eating is never something that works for me in the past, and also tends to be, you know, food that's not healthy if it's quick. So, yeah, and then the other thing I found about the definition of status is how it is in respect to the circumstances. So my circumstances were unusually stressful, and what that meant to me is I was facing difficulty, and I wanted to make sure that I was closest I could be to my higher power. So anytime I'm in these difficult circumstances, since coming into program and being recovered on a daily basis is just what a chance the difficult circumstances are for me to think, okay, here's an opportunity to gather closer to my higher power, and God's not going to abandon me in these moments. So, and I think the last thing I'll say is it's so helpful for me to think about having spiritual status that's close to God, because if I'm facing these difficult circumstances, I can get over them more quickly now coming into program by leaning on God and asking, thy will be done. God, please help me. Come close to me. Here, take this difficult situation. I get over it sooner so that I can be of service to others, which then magically also makes me feel even more spiritually fit. So I'm loving this line. I'm loving you all. I hope you have a blessed day. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Bethany H. from Texas. Wendy M., it's your turn to share.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Don, thank you always for your service and everybody on the line. I'm loving the shares. So I have to just start by saying, instead of, it says more about alcoholism, one of our chapters, I call it more about lying or more about thinking. So here's what I know, and this is what the book tells me. I have an alcoholic mind. That means I have the alcoholicism, right? And because of that, the disease is in my voice, so it sounds right. So I'll give you an example of the insanity of the alcoholic mind. I'm going to go on a trip, let's say, I've done this a billion times, to Hawaii. Okay, first of all, I've got to fortify myself. I've got to make sure I have enough food, because when I'm on the plane, I suddenly become hungry. And, oh, my God, there's no, you know, cafe to go to on the plane. There's no, must make sure I'm okay. It's kind of like Bill when he stashes the food, the drink everywhere around the house, so he has something around the clock. And that's what happens to me. The next thought is, well, it's going to be another time zone, so probably I should have a fourth meal. That makes a lot of sense. And then I'm off and running. And this is because I'm not, you know, fit spiritually. This is because my ism is way louder than the 10th step I should take, right? Like bookending the trip beforehand, like doing 10 steps on it, right? Because it's just fear. I'm going to be hungry. Oh, my God. And then everybody on the beach has some sort of blended drink, so I can have one too. And, you know, even if it's just like blended pineapples or whatever, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck, right? I'm still trying to get a hit. Here's the deal. I have to lie to get the hit. That's the point. I have to say there's four time zones here, so I need four meals and I will be hungry, right? So, oh, and then my favorite is getting a skinny margarita. This is how I lost my abstinence. Getting a skinny margarita, and of course it says skinny in the title, so I should be fine. I can handle alcohol. None of that is true, you know? And it says, you know, that the disease, the food, the drink will beat us into a state of reasonableness. Well, thank God, that is the case today. It turns out that God is actually in Hawaii. God is actually everywhere right now. And it is just our mind that we need help with, right? We need to go from insane to sane. And how do I do that? Oftentimes, 10-step, two-way prayer, any way I can get out of Wendy and get into self. And as somebody said, the minute I can get into that same place, I can be useful to anybody and everybody, and that's the name of the game. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Wendy M. from Colorado. I'll now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Page 101, that first paragraph, we meet these conditions every day through one paragraph ending, he would escape the alcohol problem. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us? Press star one.
From Chicago.
Who W from Chicago? Who is that?
Laura W.
Oh, perfect.
Jan C., Colorado.
Jan C., Colorado.
Jackie H., Idaho.
Jackie H., Idaho.
Julie N. W., Tennessee.
Julie M. W.
Julie Ann.
Oh, Julie Ann.
Janice. Yes.
Julie Ann W.
Janice W., Colorado.
Okay, Janice W., Colorado. And was it Julianne W.?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
And where were you from?
Tennessee.
Tennessee, perfect. And
Sharon K., Florida.
Sharon Terry from Florida. Perfect. I'll stop there. Okay, I have Laura W., Jan C., Jackie H., Julianne W., Janice W., and Sharon Terry. So, Laura W., please go ahead and get us started.
Okay, thank you. Hi, everyone. This is Laura W. from the Chicago area. And this paragraph really makes me smile because it reminds me of the first time I heard a speaker talk about doing a geographical. And I thought, what in the heck is a geographical? And a geographical is when you make a move hoping that you are going to change. Everything's going to change. You just need to move to this new place. And when I was in high school, in the midst of my bulimia, I had made the decision to go all the way from Chicago out to Arizona State. And I was going to go on the best diet, and I was going to run every day in the beautiful Arizona sun. And I got out there, and my bulimia got worse because, of course, I started heavy-duty restricting. And at the time, my purging was vomiting or dieting or starving and then having alcohol, which made me get sick, and then feel really good after I got over my hangover because I was thinner. And the idea of a geographical is that everywhere you go, there you are. And it's such an important part of the program to me because it seems as though I have learned this lesson. And this weekend, I'm up, it's Monday, but I'm taking a long weekend up near Galena, near our summer home, and I'm away. But this is where I used to binge a lot because I had the freedom to be alone. And this weekend, I'm out walking the dog right now. I'm committing my food still. I'm on the meeting, and I'm being healthy because I think I've learned the lesson that it's me. Everywhere I go, there I am. Doesn't matter if it's Greenland, or Arizona, or Galena, or Chicago, it's me. And it's up to me to work my program, put in the work, get close with my higher power, and then I will feel the recovery. And the beauty of that is wherever I go, I will still be recovered.
Time.
With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Laura W. from Illinois. Jan C., it's your turn, followed by Jackie H.
Good morning, everybody. This is Jan C., living so gratefully in Colorado. Oh, my goodness. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater just for today, and I'm so grateful for my abstinence because I need it. I need to have my hallway clean between me and God so that as I'm walking, he runs to me, as others have said in this program. Geographical change. My higher power moved me to Colorado from Arizona. And I'm kind of living in the old neck of the woods where I spent a lot of time years ago. And it's just so interesting. I'm by myself. So, you know, nobody's around me watching me eat. There's a large family trauma happening in my family right now, and so I've got to be abstinent so that I can be spiritually fit. And I'm not a spring chicken. I'm the matriarch of the family. That doesn't mean I get to tell everybody what to do. What it means is that I want to be an example of light for my higher power through this family situation. And how can I best do that? By working the program, by staying abstinent. Interestingly, I was never asked to commit my food away. 5 years off and on. About 60 days ago, something nudged me to say, you need to report your food every day, Jan. And I've been doing that. And now I think I know part of why, so that I can be as that ticket. I keep having that ticket in the door of OA so that all the beauty that God has to unfold is going to unfold in the lives of my family and myself. But it has to start with my abstinence and working the program and sponsoring and sharing when I need to. So I thought, for those out there who are struggling, oh my goodness, I've had such miracles when I've turned everything over to my higher power. And I use a God box, and I put two things in there this morning again. So I am so grateful for this program, and we can be living anywhere and keep our abstinence, provided, this is my experience, provided I turn every single thing over to my higher power, from a hangnail to a big family trauma. Thanks for letting me share. God bless.
Oh, thank you so much, Jan C. from Colorado. Jackie H., it's your turn, followed by Julianne.
Hi, Jackie in Idaho. Thank you, everybody, for your shares, and thanks, Don, for your service. So I was reading this again. We meet these conditions every day. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. There is something the matter with his spiritual status. Like that right there, that line. You know, when I first began, when I came back into this program a little over a year ago, there was something wrong with my spiritual status. I had no connection to God as I understand him today, and I had no access to this power that could actually help me if I turned over all the things that I was fearful of, really, to him, or, you know, her, him, however you see it. But, you know, I can go anywhere today and be neutral around the food. Now, I'm not going to stand in front of the dessert tray. Like, I'm not going to stand there. But I just was at a gathering about a week ago where I showed up and, you know, there was a whole spread. And I had eaten my snack before I went. So I was satisfied. I know to do that when I'm going into an area with a lot of food. There's a few things that I do, and I always pray. Right? That is the first thing before I walk in that door. I'm like, God, help me to be of service to the people today. Help the food to be neutral. Whatever it is I'm going to say at that moment. But I always bring God with me where there's going to be food. But that alcoholic mind, I have that mind. If I'm in obsession of any kind, if I am even thinking about the food in any way, I'm in my addiction. I'm in my head. If I'm in obsession around the food, if I even just have that thought of like, yeah, I wonder if I could have a taste of that, I'm in my addiction. When I am neutral, when I am on fit spiritual ground, when I am, you know, doing my daily disciplines, turning my food over, asking God to go with me, I'm out of my addiction. I'm out of there. There's a neutrality there when I have God, when I have access to that power and I have that connection with that higher power. I can go anywhere. The food does not bother me. That's a miracle because I could not say that probably a year and a half ago today. And I just want to say, yesterday I was working with a client who was having trouble with alcohol, and she started crying about it, and she was like, I don't know how I can do this. Everywhere I go, you know, all the parties, my family, it's all revolves around alcohol. And I'm just going to say real quick that I said, you know what, this program is a miracle, and miracles can happen every day. when we turn our lives over to the care of God. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jackie H. from Idaho. Julianne W., it's your turn, followed by Janice W.
Hey, this is Julianne W. from Tennessee. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, thanks. I am out on a farm sitting this week and haven't been here before. There is so much food here, and there are also so many animals, and I've been abstinent for a couple of months for the first time in my life, and I think I didn't even consider, I've been doing so well with abstinence that when I got out here, I didn't consider that I could be tempted. I was just like, I'll just bring food, you know. And then as I'm driving here, she texts me and she's like, hey, I left this like decadent dessert that I made out and you can either eat it or you can throw it away, but we forgot to like take it or whatever. And I was like, oh, great. This is a fun, you know, first entrance into this house. And I have been just so happy with the food that I brought. And I brought, you know, I'm eating radishes and like brought salmon and all these things that I can't eat. But in the home, there's a lot of junk food and I don't feel drawn. I feel a tiny, tiny, tiny bit drawn, but I feel way more drawn to the animals and to the outside and to the hiking and just, yeah, it's been really beautiful to see that, like, even a few months ago, if I would have been here, I would have been like, oh my gosh, they have so much good food. They said I could, you know, I'm welcome to eat the food here, but I should not. And I need to remember that in one of the last shares, I can pray before I go into these situations. I think I often just forget to do that. And I'm trying to remember that more often, like God is here and he can help me. And even in like yesterday, I trying to get this goat back into his pen and I could not. I'm not a goat wrangler. And I was like, what do I do with him? Like, I can't figure this out. And finally, I was like, just pray for help. I was like, okay, God, help me get this goat back in here. And eventually I got it in there. But I can do that with food all the time as well and don't need to wait until it's a problem before I ask for help. I'm glad to just be free this week and to have my body be feeling good and for me to be out here being able to jog and walk and just enjoy all of nature. And that's it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Julianne W. from Tennessee. Janice W., please share with us, followed by Sharon.
Hi, I'm Janice W., compulsive overeater from Colorado, and I've been in and coming in and out of this program, but I'm on day two, and I'm in the hospitalization stage. I need strictness. You know, I have a temporary sponsor that's only going to be with me for a couple days, so I need a sponsor. And what I know about my alcoholic mind is that it's a mind that tells me I don't have an addiction. You know, it tries to trick me. And so I have to pay attention to that and use the tools of the program and especially turn in my food plan, do service, do all the stuff that I've done for years and in another program. But in this one, I have to eat. So I'm just grateful to find this meeting, and I hope you all have a beautiful day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Janice W. from Colorado. Sharon, it's your turn. Sharon Terry, it's your turn to share with us.
Hi, everyone. It's actually Sharon K. I'm in Florida.
Go ahead.
No problem, Dawn. Thank you for your service. What conditions do I meet every day in the food? I have a beautiful short story to share of experience, strength, and hope. But, you know, I think a lot of people, when they see me being abstinent, I carry around a little blue lunchbox sometimes when we're going to places where there's food. You know, I get all the, you know, accolades. Oh, you've done so well. You're doing so well. But in honesty, if I wasn't abstinent, the conditions I would meet to get my food would be the work, the energy, the effort at 2 o'clock in the morning with the flu during a hurricane. There would be no debate about the effort and energy I would put to go get food. So therefore, I have to apply that same zeal with the conditions to meet, you know, my spiritual program and my abstinence. And when I have that mindset, it's a lot easier. And to be fair, it's a lot less energy and effort because it's not so noisy, you know. I just keep doing the next right thing, and I have peace. And then going back to that step one, no escaping the alcohol problem. You know, a very wise OA told me, if food is the solution, it's always going to be the solution. And I work with a lot of newcomers or people coming back from relapse, and, you know, someone dying, that's a horrible tragedy. But if food is the solution, it's going to be the solution to get through it. The same if it's your birthday, the same if you're, you know, someone surprised you with taking you out to dinner. You know, and that really slogan in the early days of my abstinence, if food is a solution, it's always going to be the solution, helped me because I had to find another way, and the other way are the steps and recovery. And I'll just share with you how in August of 2024, so only last summer, I turned 50 years old. I didn't want to celebrate because I was fat and I was miserable and I was in relapse. And now it is, you know, just May of 2025, and I became abstinent. I lost 60 pounds, and I'm living a very different new experience, working the steps again. And I went to a college reunion in New York, where I'm from, and I carried around my little blue lunchbox. I didn't drink alcohol, and I had the best time. And, you know, I had a plan, and I was able to be flexible with the plan, and, you know, I came back unscathed. I came back with saving a lot of money. All my friends knew how much money they spent. And I had a great time. And I was at a pretty healthy body weight. And to go from that within not even a year is just another miracle of this program. And I'm just so incredibly grateful. And I thank everybody at this meeting. And have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you so much, Sharon Kay from Florida. Well, that was a beautiful meeting, and now we're going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, but if you happen to be new, please stick around to the very end of meeting, and we'll allow newcomers a chance to announce their names and numbers. But now we will read page 164. Robin P., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you for your service, Dawn. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Nashville, Tennessee. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God, and admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find. That's not my dog, sorry. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what, that is my dog, sorry. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.